The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Hi, I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And I'm Tony Hendra, and this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
It's remix time, Tony.
Oh, right, end of the month.
And September is always a great month for satire.
Yes, it is, when all the fools, liars and criminals return from whoever's feet they've been sucking all summer and let their foolishness, lies and crimes hang out like so much crusty underwear on a clothesline.
Delicious. We had plenty of fresh meat to sink our teeth into, from ISIS to Scotland to Ebola to...
Speaking of Ebola, did you see this week that moron Laura Ingraham attacked Obama for letting Ebola into the country? Which is tantamount to saying, Obama's African, Ebola's African, so Ebola is his fault.
You say Ebola, they say Obama, but we won't be doing anything about that, Tony, because let me remind you, this week's show is a remix of September's Best, when we had Joan Rivers, a royal fetus, and as always, Fox News.
Ah, we had lots of fun in September. And October's off to a pretty good start, too.
We'll get to that soon enough, next week, in fact. Until then, welcome to
the
final edition...
Radio Hour!
The final edition as the man on the street. What do you think of Ebola?
When he was first elected, I was a big fan, but now I don't know what to think.
Well, this may surprise you, but I'm for it.
I believe it's God's way of punishing the gays.
I had diarrhea once.
Invented by the CIA and injected into a monkey. And then that monkey bit a gay guy. And a gay guy sneezed on an airline pilot.
You know, they have a cure for it, but they're just suppressing it because of Benghazi.
When's an Italian say Ebola? At the bowling alley. When Ebola strike. Hey, that's a some joke. A bus.
Get on the YouTube for the hip indie show, for the hip indie viewer who gets it. Check out We're Not Racist, We're Being Ironic, the prank talk show that, as the name clearly says, is not racist. This week, our all-white guest panel includes Terry Stevens, who's wearing blackface.
Oh, I'm kidding, of course.
Jonathan Bainbridge, who was beaten up for using the N-word in an ironic, transgressive statement about... What was the statement about, John?
Something about sports, maybe.
When we make fun of black people, we're obviously really making fun of the kind of people who make fun of black people.
But when black people don't get that, aren't they just making it easier to make fun of black people? That's what I'll ask Terry tonight. And of course, that question isn't serious.
And of course, I'll answer like it was.
Purely for humorous effect.
Then we're going to make jokes about watermelon. And we'll explore why black people think jokes about black people are actually about them.
That's this week on We're Not Racist, We're Being Ironic.
Check it out, unless you don't have a sense of humor.
And I think we all know who we're talking about.
Prince William and Kate Middleton are expecting their second child. The Final Edition has an exclusive interview with the royal baby and the royal fetus. Prince George, let's start with you. Are you jealous of all the attention your new sibling will receive?
Not really, mate. Takes the fucking pressure off of me, doesn't it? I can do what I want.
Royal fetus, how are you enjoying your glare in the spotlight so far?
I say, old bean, can't say as I even know what a spotlight is. But whatever it is, I'm sure it's brilliant.
The royal fetus thinks everything is bleeding brilliant.
Well, that's only because it is, brother.
That's easy for you to say, mate. You still live in mum's twat.
Royal fetus, are you aware that you are fourth in line to the throne?
I'm afraid I'm not even aware of my own genitalia.
That's because you haven't fucking got any yet, bloody wanker.
George, I detect a note of hostility on your part.
Listen, commoner. I can have you exiled to Elba. I can.
Royal fetus, you're living in your mum now, but what do you think of your dad?
Father seems a capital gent. Hail fellow well met. Of course, I only know his sperm.
There ain't much to know. He's missing fucking great giant clumps of hair and he's in the Royal Air Force. Bloody bald militarist.
George, you sound like you'll make a strong king someday.
Don't bleeding count on it. Me great-grandmum's never going to abdicate. the old cunt.
The Queen spends more time on the throne than Ricky Gervais after a tin of baked beans.
Good one, fetus.
How about a pint of Guinness then, old fellow?
Are you fucking with me, mate? I'm not pouring good Guinness down an umbilical cord.
Your mum, the Duchess of Cambridge, is suffering from severe morning sickness. How does that make you feel?
Hey, you know what most of the world suffers from? Not getting all their bleeding bills paid for by the people of England.
I've only been gestating for 8 weeks, and even I think the monarchy is outmoded.
But surely you're not going to leave the institution.
Oh, heavens no. I'm quite looking forward to living at Downton Abbey.
Hey, fetus, before you come out of Mum's twat, could you look around for me Black Sabbath records? I think I left them in there. Fetus? Fetus? Fetus?
I think it's gone to sleep.
Nah, it's just sucking. I like me thumb too, but I take it out of me mouth once in a while.
Well, that's our show. Join us next time when the famous British baby we talk to is Piers Morgan.
State of Iraq and Syria, some people call us ISIS.
But you shouldn't. You should call us the Islamic State, because we are all Muslims from now on.
Don't look at those other Muslims.
And whatever you do, don't call us ISIS.
And don't call us gay.
We are not gay.
We are proud kings of the entire Muslim world, no matter what the entire Muslim world says.
We are every Muslim united against the United States.
Except right now, we are all Muslims united against other Muslims.
But forget those other Muslims.
Especially the women. Yeah.
Just call us the entire Islamic State.
And don't call us the Islamic State of Abu and Rahman.
We are more than just two guys.
Two guys who hang out with each other and hate women and are not gay.
Don't call us gay.
Do not call us the gay Islamic State of two gay guys having the gay sex.
What we do is not sex. It is training.
Innocent, naked training.
So, to summarize, we are all Muslims, so do not believe all those other Muslims who say we are not.
And we are not repressed gay men who are cutting off the heads instead of masturbating each other.
Though we are also masturbating each other.
It is training.
This is Geraldo Rivera, and yes, I'm still amazing. Tonight, thanks to the miracle of Fox News Afterlife Channel, we bring a new show that directly challenges the pussyfooting procrastinator in the White House. Welcome to What Would Reagan Do? I'm privileged to be able to channel for you tonight the 40th President of the United States.
Well, golly, Geraldo. Surprised to see you down there still. Isn't it about time you croaked?
Mr. President, your successor in the White House is confronted with a terrorist threat in northern Iraq called ISIS. They've beheaded American hostages, yet Obama is talking about making these terrorists a manageable threat in 3 years' time. You have gone down in history as the toughest president in living memory who met force with force decisively. Ronald Reagan, what would you do in the face of these violent terrorists?
Well, let's see. The big terrorist threat I had to face was when Hezbollah bombed the Marine barracks in Beirut on October 23, 1983. 241 of our brave boys died that day, the worst single-day death toll for Americans abroad since World War II.
And you struck right back, did you not, Mr. President? Forcefully and victoriously.
You bet I did. In just 48 hours, I mobilized 7,600 Marines, plus the Army's Rapid Deployment Force and Delta Force, plus Navy SEALs, backed up with heavy air support, and invaded Grenada.
Grenada?
It's an island in the Caribbean just off Venezuela, about 6,200 miles from Beirut. There were Cubans there, see? Darn commies. 700 of them. Building stuff. Heavily armed. Picks. Shovels. Cement mixers. Well, we showed those suckers who was boss. In just 3 weeks, they cried, "Uncle!" It was my first great military victory.
But at the same time, you were responding swiftly and forcibly to the terrorist carnage in Beirut, right?
You betcha. I gave that nitwit George Herbert Walker Bush a helmet and told him to get the heck over there.
And bring swift and devastating retribution to Hezbollah.
No, just to eyeball the damage. For once, he didn't screw up. Took some nice shots of the holes in the building. Ooh, they were huge.
Did you do anything about the terrorists' brutal murder of 241 American servicemen?
No, not really. I did order airstrikes in Lebanon a couple months later. We don't talk about that much. The Syrians shot down two of our jets and took one pilot hostage.
And I'll bet you refused point blank to negotiate with his captors.
We tried everything. Then that colored preacher walked right in there and got the pilot out scot-free. No guns, no air support, no ransom, nothing. Jesse something. I think he was one of the Jackson Five.
One last issue, Mr. President. On the subject of hostages, President Obama's listless response to ISIS, as well as his negotiating the release of Sergeant Bergdahl for five Taliban prisoners, has outraged the nation. Let's be crystal clear. There were many U.S. hostages held in Lebanon during your presidency, but you never paid a ransom for a hostage and never negotiated prisoner exchanges.
Correct. Here's the only surefire way to get hostages out of a Mideast hellhole. First, find out who's really calling the shots. In Lebanon, it was Iran. Second, sell Iran all the weapons they want to win the war they're fighting. Bingo! We get our hostages back.
But then weapons are just a form of ransom.
Bull feathers. Ransom's money. Who got the money? We did. Gave it to those Contra fellas to kill commies.
But Iran was our sworn enemy, and you were giving aid and comfort to the enemy. That's treason.
I can't understand you. I'm asleep at the wheel. You're getting faint. I have Alzheimer's, you know. I'm not responsible for anything or anyone. Ever. When is Nancy coming? Tell her to bring Grisham.
The Final Edition Radio Hour. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
The Final Edition asks the man on the street, what's your opinion of the NFL wife-beating scandal?
Look, I'm not in favor of domestic violence, but at least, you know, we're not shipping it overseas, right?
It's kind of weird that a guy who trains in football all year and, I don't know, it's weird he would turn violent like that.
I had diarrhea once.
Well, you can see it on the video of him beating his future wife. He has fast hands, he has good legs, he's good in the clutch.
When they were in the elevator, I guess she just pushed the wrong buttons.
He took her out of the elevator. He put her shoe back on. The man is a gentleman.
Don Budge used to fuck his ball boy.
Well, I still contend if he'd run a lateral, he could have knocked her back an additional 5 yards.
I don't want to talk about what happened after the punch, because I don't want to drag this out.
Terry.
I'm Bob.
And this is Health Attack, the show where we read the name and description of a disease you've never heard of, then take calls from people who suddenly think they have it.
Our disease today is Japanese encephalitis,
which we chose at random from a rare disease database.
It's a severe inflammation of the brain caused by a virus transmitted by mosquito bites.
And we have a list of symptoms here: high fever, headaches, weakness, nausea, vomiting, paralysis, personality changes, and coma, with possible neurological damage or death.
So if you ever had a headache or your personality changed, give us a call.
And the phones are lighting up. Hello, line one, you're on Health Attack.
Hey, I'm pretty sure I've got Japanese encephalitis, and I think I died from it.
That is so tragic. You sound so young. Thanks for your story. Line two, you're on Health Attack.
Yeah, long time listener, first time caller.
I keep calling my doctor after your show because I've had every one of those diseases, and I noticed he started to get really irritated with me.
So your doctor used to be okay, but now he's getting impatient.
Sounds like a personality change.
My doctor has Japanese encephalitis.
And so do you. Thanks for calling.
Well, the show wouldn't be complete without our anti-vaccination report. This week, we discovered an interesting fact. Smallpox did not exist before they invented a smallpox vaccine.
Wow, is that true?
The important thing isn't whether it's true or not. The important thing is that we said it.
And that's all for us. Come back next week when we manage to convince all our listeners that they have blue diaper syndrome.
Welcome to Deutsche Bank's investor conference call service. Please enter your access code followed by the pound sign. There are 8 people on this call. Please press 1 to join.
So did you hit that course the other day?
All right, everyone, let's begin. Good morning, and thank you for joining us on this early investor conference call. I'm Michael Sarafin from Deutsche Bank, and we're very excited for today's brief but important announcement. Joining me is Nasser Abdul Karim al-Wuhashi, Chief Financial Officer of Al-Qaeda. As many of you know, the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, pronounced ISIS, has reportedly raised, quote, hundreds of millions of dollars, end quote. So we think there's no better time to announce that our client, Al-Qaeda, is going public and that we'll be running their IPO. Mr. al-Wuhashi?
Yes, thank you. We will deliver our filing to the SEC by early next week and begin trading very soon. Very, very soon.
Our early expectations are for shares to be priced in the $18 to $20 range in order to value the company north of $200 million. Questions?
Michael Davenport of Liberty Capital. This does seem like a smart move. Al-Qaeda still has global reach and unprecedented brand awareness, but it's going to be a disaster unless they show their learning from newer competitors like ISIS.
No. Despite whatever rumors you have heard, Al-Qaeda remains the unrivaled leader in the volatile Islamist terror sector. And we look forward to maintaining and strengthening that position in our new public capacity.
But your company has struggled over the last few years, hasn't it? With what seems to be a void in leadership following the assassination of CEO and founder Osama bin Laden. Bin Laden really gave you guys not just money, but direction and focus.
Look, I really don't agree. Isn't it
like Apple after Steve Jobs died? But if Jobs had been unexpectedly assassinated by an elite team of Navy SEALs in a covert nighttime raid?
Yeah. It's always difficult to deal with sudden change. And the difficulties brought on by his death have paved the way for upstarts like ISIS, which has had some success in large part due to its corporate policy of brutality and horror. I should point out that ISIS is still funded primarily through private donations, kidnappings, and Rupert Murdoch.
Eric Bircher, Barclays Investor Relations. Whatever their source of income, isn't ISIS now on the verge of accomplishing what was once unthinkable? Overtaking Al-Qaeda as the go-to terrorist group?
No. Look, we don't worry about competitors like those infidel-hating infidels. Our decision to go public simply represents the next logical step for our company to solidify our supremacy in the space. Allah Akbar.
The funds they raise will go toward arming jihadis, targeting high-profile international attacks, generally creating a more robust and welcoming organization for their allies and partners.
Hi, Mark Sheldon, Morgan Stanley Vice President of Disaster Opportunities. I think this is actually terrific. I mean, if Al-Qaeda can return to their core competency, attacking American interests abroad, they will separate themselves from localized groups like ISIS. I mean, there has been a real lack of effective foreign soil attacks, this entire decade.
Exactly. Al-Qaeda has the experience to really deliver in a big way. So this is an exciting growth opportunity for savvy money managers. Any American investment will provide an immediate and significant return. This is a market with a lot of pent-up demand. So if you get in, Wall Street can once again be ground zero for profits.
And what about rumors that have Al-Qaeda positioning itself to buy ISIS's outright?
No comment.
We are examining all options for growth. Death to America.
That's pretty impressive. I'm sweating. Just
okay,
cut out there.
Well, that's all we have time for now. Thanks for joining us.
Today on Clickbait, 10 popular actors who were in another thing once.
Wow, Emma Watson was totally in a movie before she was in that other movie.
A heartwarming video of a cat not being a total asshole. A hilarious video of a cat being a total asshole. 10 celebrities who aged since 15 years ago.
How dare they?
A clip from a TV show we didn't even produce, but we get the traffic.
Because it's an important message.
20 famous people who didn't used to be famous. You won't believe who's number 6.
See Prince Charles on the list.
15 stars who've never been able to... Oops, not enough room for that headline. Guess you'll have to click just to find out what the hell it even is.
I think I just downloaded child porn.
And a guy makes an amazing political statement that isn't really that amazing.
And it's from, like, 2 years ago.
That's today on Clickbait, where it's almost like you read something.
The Nobel Peace Prize Committee has twice asked President Obama through diplomatic channels to return his Peace Prize. The first time was after the bombing of Libya. The second, after the assassination of Osama bin Laden. Now, with the president's authorization of airstrikes against ISIS in Syria and Iraq, they're asking one more time and not diplomatically. Our Stone Peck has the story.
Committee Chairman Thorbjørn Jagland addressed an overflow press conference this morning here in Oslo. And boy, was he steamed.
For some time now, we have realized what a phony baloney Obama is. We call him Obamer, which is why we want our Peace Prize back. And the beautiful box in which it came. Because now he's invaded Iraq just like that sniveling war criminal Dick Cheney. Our faces are totally covered with egg.
Last year, the Final Edition reported that in the wake of the bombing of Libya, the assassination of Osama bin Laden, Guantanamo remaining open and the reduced drawdown in Afghanistan, the committee had asked the president to consider returning his peace prize. Chairman Jagland.
We asked the president before really nicely. We said, you know, when he had the time, because we know he's a really busy guy. And basically, we still really like him. Right, Jagbjørn?
Committee Vice Chairman Jagbjørn Thorland.
Yeah, we even said he could send it back in a brown paper package by regular mail, so he wouldn't have the red face. But we heard nothing from the White House for months. Then Bjornland here came up with another plan.
Committee Secretary Bjornland Thorjag.
We said, as long as he got his medal back, he could keep the really expensive box. We even offered him a consolation Nobel Peace Prize.
How could anyone turn down that deal?
And now, Mr. Chairman, what will be your strategy?
No more Mr. Nice Guy, with all these poor ISIS being bombed mercilessly. ISIS was the Egyptian goddess of fertility and a motherhood. Put two and two together. The war criminal Obama is bombing motherhood. So we say to the Obamer, give us back our medal. Now, or else.
Or else what, Mr. Chairman?
Or we will completely cut off all our exports of meatballs. Not one Swedish meatball will ever again pass American lips. And we're recalling the Swedish chef.
Mr. Chairman, good luck with that. You Swedes sure know how to play hardball.
Yeah, hard meatball.
With a reaction from Washington, White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
The president's position is this. He doesn't remember winning a Nobel Peace Prize. But if he did, he thinks he might have given it to Hillary.
With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour. With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hello,
fellow Scotsman.
Easy, lad. You don't have to shout.
We always shout. It's how we communicate.
What? Speak up.
I said... I want to know how you feel about Scottish independence. I'm taking a pearl.
Give me that pole. I want to see how far I can toss it.
It's not that kind of pearl, you shite. I want to know how you feel about the bloody English.
I say I'm fine with the English. Before they came, we were eating boiled sheep innards. Now we've got eels and kidney pie.
The English stole our land. They killed all the buffalo.
Now that's ridiculous.
Then where are the bloody buffalo? They raped our women, and because we wear skirts, they got a few of us too. And they fed whiskey to our warriors.
That's a problem?
Okay, granted. That one wasn't so bad. But they killed Mel Gibson.
Ah, that was the Jews.
They killed Jesus. Do you not know your history, man? I'm just saying, I'm tired of being told what to do by the white man.
You're white.
I'm blue.
You are blue. Wipe that stupid paint off your face.
It's not paint. That's how Scottish I am. Will you join me and vote for independence?
I'll think it over. Don't get your panties in a bunch.
I'm not wearing panties.
Ah, put your kilt down. I don't want to see your bag or your bike. Oh, my God. Your willy makes that sound. That's not healthy.
I told you I'm Scottish. Now join me in a drink, will ya? That's one thing all the Scots can agree on.
Aye, but we're both too frugal to pay for it.
Our national conundrum!
I'm Kimberly Guilfoyle from Fox News.
I'm Greg Gutfeld from Fox News.
And we represent patriotic Americans for Vladimir Putin.
We're Americans who care so much about America that we want to give it to a Russian leader.
That's a lot of caring.
I mean, look at how well things are working out for Russia.
They're international pariahs. They have inflation, a wilting economy, a war that's backfiring on them. Nobody believes anything they say.
These are things we want for America.
Or how about Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu for president? Look how well that country is doing.
Permanent war, international condemnation, permanent hostilities.
They're passing us on all metrics while Obama works on his golf game.
See, these leaders know how to get Congress to do what they want.
Which Obama can't do because he's a dictator who tries to get Congress to do what he wants.
All we're saying is that America is great and we don't want it run by a Kenyan.
We want it run by a Russian.
Maybe an Israeli. Really.
Or a hostile bacteria.
We're patriots.
This week, Webster is coming out with their new dictionary, and we're excited to welcome senior editor Charles Van Dorn IV to explain some of the changes in the new edition. Charles, welcome.
Yeah.
Charles, are you okay?
Oh, yeah, just the whole week has been... I'm fine.
All right. Well, for a little background, we've been seeing a lot of changes in dictionaries in recent years, haven't we?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, we started adding texting abbreviations like OMG and IMHO, and then we brought in made-up slang terms like bromance and man cave and chillax, and then we... changed the definition of the word literally so it means not literally. And after that, I stopped fighting.
So what's going to change in the dictionary this year?
Oh, from now on, every word in the English language is just going to mean whatever you want it to mean.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, usage changes and that's how language evolves and blah, blah, blah. I'm just tired of thinking about this.
Do you have any specific examples?
Well, for instance, we're changing the definition of irony. Now it really is rain on your wedding day, a free ride when you've already paid, the good advice you just didn't take, whatever you want.
A song about irony destroyed irony. That actually is ironic.
Nope, that's not what irony means anymore. Whatever the situation you just described, there's no longer a word for that.
So is that the only change?
Oh no, there are hundreds. Espresso is now spelled with an X.
Uh-huh.
The word whom is just gone. It never was. Also, the words less and fewer are interchangeable. You can have less chickens now and fewer water.
And the word it's. When does it have an apostrophe? When it's a contraction of it is or when it's the possessive?
It has an apostrophe whenever you want it. Just, I don't know, put it at the beginning of the word. Who cares?
Are there any new words going into the dictionary?
Yeah, there's yow, wow, 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 wow.
Wow. What's that mean?
Doesn't mean anything yet, but a guy in southern Wyoming made that noise a couple times, so now it's out there, and we have to account for it.
Sure. One last question. Does black now mean white?
Oh, people haven't gone down that road yet, so for now we're just splitting the difference. Black means gray.
Charles Van Dorn IV, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
23 Skidoo.
Final Edition brings you the Royal Babies Weekly Press Conference live from Kensington Palace.
Royal Baby!
Royal
Baby, over here!
One at a time, you bloody wankers!
George, what are your thoughts on the failed bid for Scottish independence?
Scotland only wanted what I got last year, to get out of its mum's twat.
It doesn't bother you that if they left, you'd have one-third less of a kingdom to rule?
As long as I've got me pint, I don't care what I fucking rule. Is Guinness Scottish?
No, it's Irish.
Same thing.
Your thoughts on Alex Salmond, Scottish independence leader, who said he would step down.
Salmond? Is he the Loch Ness Monster?
He's the First Minister.
Potato, potato.
How does it feel knowing that the Queen's title remains intact?
Is that the band that plays with that wanker Adam Lambert?
No, no. Her Majesty Elizabeth II, by the grace of God, of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of her other realms and territories.
I don't know which is longer, her bloody name or me grandfather's ears.
What would you do if Scotland sought independence again during your rule as king?
Well, I'm only a bloody infant, mate. But for that to happen, the Nationalists would have to get 6% of the vote in Union strongholds. Second, me great-grandmum would have to kick the royal bucket. I don't see either of those things happening in the next 100-150 years.
So you think Scotland is happy where it is?
No, but he's happy where they are, mate. That's why the bloody divine wanker who rules the universe created barley, ops, and quality fermentation.
And now, the final edition brings you the red carpet at Joan Rivers' funeral. Here with commentary, as always, the woman of the hour herself, Joan Rivers. Joan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Oh, would you look at this? I haven't been around so many smelly old farts since the last time Edgar ate broccoli. Look, it's Barbara Walters. She has so much old material underneath her neck, I thought she knitted another AIDS quilt. Ah, I haven't seen an ancient relic trying to look that young since the last season of SNL. Oh, here's Kathy Griffin, one of many female comics who says I blazed a trail for her. She used to be on my Life on the D-list. Now she'll be lucky to get on the D-train.
Okay, there he is.
There's Geraldo Rivera. My vagina is a lot like Al Capone's vault. They both opened easily for Geraldo, and they're both barren, dry, and filled with dust. Paul Schaefer is here. Even in death, I couldn't get Letterman. That's all right. He doesn't come for anything. Unless it's a 22-year-old intern. Here's Donald Trump. The only thing that's been dead longer than me is that rodent on top of his head. There's Steve Forbes. All my life, I've wanted a nice, big, billionaire prick. And he shows up when I'm as useless as Katie Holmes at a gay Thetan Level 7 reunion. There's my dear friend, Kathy Lee Gifford. She thinks this is an AA meeting. Hi, Kathy Lee. Why don't you tell some stories about Cody and kill the rest of the nice people here? Hey, Whoopi Goldberg. I'm going to miss not understanding why you have a last name that sounds like somebody who got gassed and a first name that's the name of a cushion that sounds like somebody passed it. Oh, here's Melissa, my wonderful daughter. My funeral is in New York, but I'll be buried in L.A. to make it more convenient for Missy to visit her career. And there's Howard Stern. In my eulogy, he's going to talk about my pussy.
which makes sense because his head looks like my bush. I died this week, but my pubes were dyed in the Johnson administration. And then nobody would administer me a Johnson.
This has been a whirlwind engagement for you, Joan.
You should have seen me in the funeral home. It was the first time an old star had been seen with such a young face since Mia Farrow found Su Yi's pictures on her Uncle Woody's mantelpiece. Everyone said I looked great, like I was sleepy or listening to Kanye West.
So what's next for you, Joan? Your posthumous accolades keep piling up.
Of course. As a comedic force, I broke more barriers than Billy Joel driving home on the Long Island Expressway. In the afterlife, I'm looking forward to seeing Robin Williams, Liz Taylor, and Martha Stewart. I know Martha isn't dead. I'm just looking forward to it.
They dimmed the lights for you on Broadway.
You know who else did that? Every man who ever saw me naked. I've had more dim bulbs in my bedroom than everyone who dated the Kardashians. I'm the second lady of Broadway. The first is Neil Patrick Harris. Out, grow up!
We will return to the Final Edition Radio Hour after this.
Look out! There's more Final Edition Radio Hour!
The Final Edition asks the man on the street, what do you think of Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie's wedding?
I thought they were already divorced.
We all need to calm down about this. Everybody stop panicking.
I'm so happy that they got married. It's so beautiful.
Well, yeah, I think we should do something about Vladimir Putin.
So those kids aren't bastards anymore?
I hope they had one of them blooming onions and one of those champagne trees. I had one of those in my wedding, and I miss my wife.
Interesting piece of trivia. I read about their marriage while touching my nuts.
Two words. Benghazi.
Angelina Jolie married Benghazi?
Angelina Jolie married Ben Gazzara?
They're queer. I like Jennifer Aniston better. I just think I had a chance with her.
My balls are on fire!
Bride and groom exchanged STDs.
I hear the bride and groom wrote their own wedding vows, along with 12 uncredited screenwriters.
This look infected to you?
I hear she has a cute angina, but her tits ain't much.
The Final Edition Radio Hour presents A History of Temp Work, Part 1, The Dark Ages. No, really, The Dark Ages. The year is long, long ago. On a feudal estate, a new temporary serf reports for work.
Excuse me, I was told to find the assistant team leader for project management.
That would be me!
But you're just trampling grapes. Why did they give you that title?
So they don't have to pay me overtime!
So, really, you're just another serf.
It's just my day job. Actually, I'm writing a passion play. You right? Must be the temp serf here to take Theodoric's place.
Theodoric? What happened to him?
He got the axe.
Oh, they fired him?
No. What did you do before this temp job?
Before this, I was working as a leper.
Working as a leper? Leprosy's not a profession, it's a disease.
Where were you before I spent 200 shillings on trade school?
Just the same. I could tell you've been a serf before.
Really? How did you know that I surfed?
You're totally gnarly, man.
We all are. But maybe if we work hard and fulfill our part of the social contract, we'll be rewarded with the stability that comes from an enlightened nobility.
If you believe that, I've got a piece of the true cross I want to sell you.
Yeah, sometimes it feels like our lives are completely futile.
Well, it's feudalism. So, how do you like temping?
I hate it. I'd rather have a job I could keep until the day I die.
How hard is that? Our life expectancy is only 35 years.
I wouldn't mind working here. What kind of boss is the Lord of the Manor?
He's living in the Dark Ages.
Pretty up to date, then.
Oh, absolutely. His attitude is completely medieval.
Have you got health coverage?
It doesn't cover conditions caused by witchcraft. Plus, there's a co-payment for leeches. On the other hand, you've got your choice of barbers.
Yeah. Do you get any holidays off?
The usual feast days plus the 4th of July.
The 4th of July? Why?
You know, I don't know.
How about Martin Luther King Day?
You get your choice. Martin Luther Day or King Day.
And a Christmas party? Do they have a good Christmas party?
Oh, every year it's the same thing. The Lord of the Manor gets drunk and rapes everybody's wife. I wouldn't even go, but my wife insists on it. Says it's good for my career.
Yeah, I've heard that tune before.
You don't want to be yourself forever, nag, nag, nag.
Yeah, why doesn't she just get off my hump?
Speaking of humps, I noticed you have quite a hunchback. You know, you really should have that looked at.
By a professional?
No, people would pay to look at that. Oh, look where the sun is. I better get to work. They told me to get 20 copies of this. Where's the copy room?
Down the corridor, on the left. It's a room full of monks. Be sure to specify you want an illuminated manuscript. And tell them to watch the margins.
Thanks. Hey, by the way, I love wine, but the batch you're trampling there smells absolutely terrible.
Ha! We haven't had any grapes for 2 months. This is cow shit.
Cow shit? Why in the name of God do they have you trampling cow shit?
Busy work.
Welcome, viruses of the world! Welcome, bacteria of the world! The World Council of Pathogens is delighted you can be at this awesome celebration! What are we celebrating? All you fantastically hard-working viruses and bacteria who are finding new ways to combat the deadliest threat to our planet's health it has seen in 4 billion years! Yes, that exponentially propagating species that brings death, misery, seizures, and disfigurement to every living thing it infects! Homo sapiens! Ironically, this deadly species was originally transmitted to the planet via the same lowland gorillas we have historically counted on to transmit some of our most powerful cures for the deadly species. Brave, pioneering viruses like smallpox. A beloved memory. Smallpox, which gave its life in the fight to save the planet. Yeah, come on, give it up for a real hero! Enough of my yakking. Here to present the award tonight is our guest star on loan from the World Council of Bacteria, the very lovely, ever popular Malaria!
Thank you. No, really, thank you. I am so happy to be here. And a big thank you back to my old pal and comrade in arms, the legendary Hall of Famer, whose stats beat just about every other world famous virus ever, influenza. How about those lowland gorillas? No dis intended, guys. We love all you do selflessly transmitting viruses to the archenemy. Just because you made one mistake a couple million years ago doesn't make you the bad guys. So let's hear it for Lowland Gorillas. And a shout out to African Fruit Bats! And of course, every virus and bacterium's favorite, that lovely, lovely, charming, helpful species, rats! I ask you, what would we do? What would any of us do without rats? Or ticks? Oh, God of pathogens, I love ticks! Ticks are the future! Okay, down to business. Folks, the Homo sapiens pandemic continues to spread. But I've a hunch. We've reached the tipping point! We have a whole bunch of pathogens vying for the top spot tonight! Some regulars, some newcomers, some veterans hankering for a comeback! On the up and up is dengue fever! Reliable, hardworking HIV!
Kinda retired.
Me too, as in semi-retired. Then there are the real tough newcomers from the hood, necrotizing fasciitis, Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome, and of course, the star of the hour, plucky little please. And the winner of the most promising pathogen of the year is... Oh my God. It hasn't even got a name yet, and it's... it's resistant to every form of antibiotic! It's an airborne necrotic bacterium. Yay, bacteria! That, get this, completely destroys human lung tissue in 5 to 10 minutes. It's already massively present in urban populations worldwide, and it's transmitted by household pets.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is performed at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lenk, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, David Eskridge, Leslie Shapira, Anne Tuchel, and Darby Worley. The show is written at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, David Eskridge, Barry Lenk, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Leslie Shapira, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler. West Coast production by Barry Lenk. Audio editing and production by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of The Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2014.